Welcome to Beyond the Loss with your host, Aditi Leverage. Aditi is a certified coach and certified grief recovery specialist, mindfulness meditation teacher, writer, and founder of the Pregnancy and Infant Loss Support Center. Aditi's mission is to help people connect to a variety of healing options so they can heal in their own way on their own terms. And now here is your host, Aditi Leverage.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Beyond the Loss. Thanks for tuning back in. Today we have with us someone who I'm very excited to have, Melissa Sully. Melissa Sully is the founder and maker behind Josiah & Co. She's focused on building supportive, inclusive communities for those impacted by pregnancy and infant loss through quality handcrafted products, workshops, and events. Melissa resides in Hamilton, Ontario with her husband and two Earthside children. She loves good coffee, tacos, and margaritas. I can share some of those loves, Melissa. Thank you so much, Melissa, for being here. You and I have been following each other on Instagram for a number of years now, and we've connected off Instagram in a number of capacities, and now you are generously volunteering and becoming more involved with the Pregnancy and Infant Loss Support Center, and we're so very grateful to have you on our team and very grateful to share your voice and story with our listeners today.
Awesome. Thank you for having me. Yeah, I'm honored to be a part of what you're doing.
Yes, we just couldn't have found a better person. So we're just so aligned with our mission and vision. So we're super excited. But for those of you who are listening, some of you may know Melissa and some of you may not, but I think I'd like to give Melissa an opportunity to share your story of loss and kind of what led you to this place that you're in today.
Yeah, sounds good. I'll try. I mean, I feel like our story is long, but I'll try and keep it somewhat short, or the Coles notes. So we have two Earthside children, as you mentioned, Aditi, and we had our son Zeke back in 2014. And actually, it's interesting because like our story with him was we come from a very like fairly conservative church community, and we got pregnant before we were married. So navigating our pregnancy with him, with Ezekiel, was quite difficult. And so after we had Zeke and got married, I felt like I wanted to get pregnant again fairly quickly so that I could redeem my pregnancy experience. Because with Ezekiel, I felt like I needed to hide the entire pregnancy and didn't want people to know that I was pregnant. And it was just cloaked in a lot of shame, which looking back now was quite awful. So we got pregnant fairly quickly when Zeke was maybe around 6 or 7 months old. And I was excited to share it with the world from the very beginning, and was really pumped to have our kids close in age. And then at our 20-week anatomy scan, my husband was actually back home in Ghana, and I thought nothing of it. I'm like, you know, we never had any issues with our first pregnancy, like this will go as planned. Went in for the anatomy scan by myself. And I remember the ultrasound tech was really quiet, and she had said, I need to go check the pictures to make sure that they're showing up okay. I'll be right back. And she left me laying on the table with my shirt was still up. I still had the jelly on my belly. And it felt like she took an hour to come back. It felt like forever. And the entire time in my head, I thought, oh my goodness, something must be wrong. Why is she taking so long? Last time it didn't take this long. There must be something wrong. And then I would flip it and say, you're overreacting. It's probably fine. You're at a hospital. Things take forever anyways. And then eventually she came back with a doctor and a nurse. And I knew right away that something was wrong. And I remember the doctor looking at me and saying, we're really sorry, but your baby no longer has a heartbeat. And to this day, I can still hear my cries echoing off the hospital walls. And I was like, I don't know how to navigate through this. Like, my husband's not here. I'm here by myself. What the heck is next? At that point, I did not know anyone who had experienced pregnancy loss, or I thought I didn't know anyone because no one talked about it.
Yeah.
And so it ended up like I was induced and had to give birth to our baby while my husband was away because I didn't want to wait. I just couldn't bear the thought of walking around with a dead baby inside of me. I just couldn't do it. So I was induced and delivered the next day, and it was awful. So that,
yeah. Did you have any support with you?
So actually, one of my close friends and a coworker ended up being in the hospital with me the entire time, which was great. So I wasn't alone.
Okay.
And we had close friends who stayed with Ezekiel while I was at the hospital. And then my husband ended up being home, I think the next day or the day after. So by the time I was home, he was coming home.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was our first loss, and that was in 2016, I think, or 2015 maybe. And then after that, we had two early losses, so one at 5 weeks and then one at around 9 weeks. And the 9-week one was awful. It was just as bad as our 20-week loss. I ended up miscarrying at home, and I thought I was dying. You know, they tell you that is just a heavy period, but it's not.
No, it's not.
At all.
Biggest myth.
It's the biggest lie ever.
Yeah, I agree with that one.
Yeah. And then after that, we ended up getting pregnant with our daughter, and my pregnancy with her was totally fine. But the entire time I was terrified, and I had such a hard time connecting with her and bonding with her because I was just expecting that we would lose her. And then like once I hit our 20-week mark and she was fine, I felt like I could breathe a little bit more, but there was still this intense desire to just want to have her in my arms breathing so that I could know that she was alive. And there's almost this expectation too that when you have your quote unquote rainbow baby that it solves everything. But I struggled so much after she was born with a lot of anxiety, a lot of depression. And then that's when I started my business. I needed an outlet for my grief. And I also wanted to share my story because I knew there were so many people going through the same circumstances and felt alone in their grief. And so I really wanted to be a voice to break down the stigma. So that's when I started Josiah & Co. And then since then, we've had 4 more losses. 3 of them being within the second trimester. And then our last one was just this past April during COVID, and it was around 12 weeks. So it's been quite the ride.
Yes. And your story is continually evolving as
it is. Yeah. We still really want a third child, and I can't kick this feeling that we're supposed to have a third. So part of me just continues to trek through and roll the dice and wait until we get another one. But there's definitely days where I think, how many times can I do this? Like, I would love for this part of my journey to be over, but I also know it's not over yet until we eventually, hopefully, get a third.
Yes. And can I ask you about that? Because I have so many community members and clients that have had multiple losses, and it's this kind of mental battle for them of, do we try or do we stop? So what gives you, Melissa, what personally gives you the strength and the courage to continue to try for another third baby?
I think for me, it's a couple things. I think for me, because we do have 2 living children and my pregnancies with them were completely normal, I know that my body is capable of carrying a pregnancy to term. There's just something that goes wonky with the ones we've lost, and we're pretty sure it's a genetic thing, but they're not certain on that. And then the other thing too is just this desire for another is so much stronger than the fear, that that's what carries me through and wanting to try again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always say that our community, I think, is just one of the bravest communities, because, and so to continue to try, knowing that it could result in loss, is one of, to me, is one of the most hopeful and optimistic acts of love that there ever could be. Knowing that there is that possibility, but you're still willing to find that love and that hope, I think is just so powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah, and even really when is. Even for those who do decide to stop to try, I think even that, right, is such an optimistic act, because it's saying, okay, you know, I'm going to support my mental health now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Can you tell me a little bit about your company name? It's Josiah & Co. Can you tell us how you started that? What led you to name it Josiah & Co.?
Yeah, so when I was picking a business name, I really wanted something that honored the babies that we had lost. And so Josiah is the name of the baby that the first baby we lost at 20 weeks. We had named him Josiah. And it's actually interesting, because I think it was before I found out I was pregnant with him, I had this dream that I was going to have a baby boy, and I was told his name would be Josiah, and it meant healing. And so I was very much expecting that I would eventually have a boy. So then when I found out I was pregnant with him and that he was a boy and we lost him, I knew that I needed to name him that. What I didn't realize at the time was how much healing would come from my story of heartache. So when I picked my business name, I picked Josiah to represent him, and then Co to represent the two babies we lost early on in our pregnancies. We didn't end up naming them. And then the Co also represents all babies that other people have lost as well. So I really wanted something that really honored the babies that are not here.
Oh, that's so beautiful. So beautiful. Thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome.
So grief, as you and I and our community knows, grief changes you. So how has grief changed you?
Ooh-wee. It really, really does. So I think for me, it's made me a lot more empathetic and understanding of people's struggles, especially in regards to pain. Like, a lot of us can go through fairly painful circumstances in our lives. And I thought I was empathetic before, but I also was not. I was also like very much entrenched in like a conservative evangelical mindset. And so when we experienced our first loss, I really struggled through my belief system. A lot of it, I thought, like, I was being punished for, you know, getting pregnant before I was married and a lot of these things. But as I experienced more and more losses and started to dismantle a lot of my belief systems, I realized that there's so much more out there, and there's so much pain out there within people, that it's taught me to be more understanding and empathetic and welcoming of people from all different walks of life. It's definitely also made me stronger.
Oh yeah, that for sure can definitely happen. Yeah, it changes us in so many ways. And when you said has it changed your relationship to your faith?
Oh, 100% it has. Yeah. I before I experienced loss, I would have called myself quote unquote a Christian. And now I'm in this space where I would not label myself as that. I would say I'm more spiritual, but still searching and very open to different belief systems for sure.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And in your bio, you said, right, your business is focused on building supportive, inclusive communities for those impacted. I was curious on that inclusivity piece. What does that look like for you and why is that important to you?
Yeah, that's been something that I've become really passionate about in the last few years, especially like as I've connected with people from within the LGBTQ community and people of color. I've just realized like how marginalized they are and even silenced within white evangelical communities. And it's made me really passionate to use my voice and to use my platform to highlight what people have been through in those communities and to love them and welcome them and include them in the community. And I really believe that their voices hold power. And so I want to be very intentional and clear about where I stand when it comes to inclusion. You know, I've had a lot of people come at me on my online platform, like asking why I promote and support businesses that are clearly LGBTQ or clearly pro-choice. And I'm upfront with them. I say, you know, like I want to be inclusive of everybody. And like, it doesn't matter to me, like what your viewpoints are when it comes to things like abortion and anti-gay stuff. So I've wanted to be a lot more vocal around that.
Mm-hmm. And we so appreciate that voice because, as you know, that's one of the foundational missions and visions of the center is diversity and inclusion, because all people experience loss on their path to parenthood. And so they deserve to be supported, whether like what they look like or who they love or how they identify. And I think that that's just such a deep testament to the personal work even that you've done along your own journey. I think that that's so beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's like, so I think that's one of the things I've really learned in this journey is like what it means to truly actually love people instead of saying, cause I know a lot of the community that I came from would say, I love these people, but I don't agree with their choices. And to me, that's not inclusion. and so I've just really been on this journey of learning what it means to really, really, truly love people and to be someone who is inclusive.
That's beautiful. And I we've never met Melissa in real life. One of these days we will, once COVID is over, but I feel that love. I feel that love every time you and I speak, when you show up as a volunteer, when I read your Instagram posts, that love is very, very palpable. So I thank you for that.
Thanks.
So your story, I mean, you have so much in that story. You had living children, you have living children. Navigating grief with living children is something I think that is so common and yet is so, such uncharted territory. People are really unsure of what do we do with our children who are here and we're moving through this grief. So how have you helped your children navigate through grief?
Yeah, so with our son, so Ezekiel, he's 6 and a half now. He started understanding more when he was around 4 probably. So I group our losses into kind of 2 groups. So there's the losses we had before we had our daughter and then the losses we've had after. And so with the losses after, we've been really open with Ezekiel. So when we found out we were pregnant, we told him we were expecting. We would talk about the baby that was growing in my belly. And then when we lost the babies or the babies died, we would be very pointed with the language that we chose. So instead of saying we lost them or they're no longer here, we found we really had to be intentional in saying the baby died. Otherwise he would ask us like, oh, they're lost. Well, where did they go? When are they coming back? And so we realized we have to be very clear. And so it's opened up a lot of discussions around death and dying and allowing him to have moments where he cries, and he'll even randomly bring up sometimes like, I really miss my brothers and sister, or I really wish that they were here, or if they were here, then we would have to have a van because they won't all fit in our car. And so instead of shushing him and telling him not to talk about it, we've really had a lot of open dialogue around those things. So I'll ask him questions about, well, why do you miss them? And we just kind of go with the flow. So we've also never like forced it with him to be like, hey, what are you thinking? How are you feeling right now? But addressing the questions when they come up with him. And I feel like that's really set him up to be more understanding as well and more aware of his emotions, because we lost our, so my husband's stepfather passed away last year, and Ezekiel was old enough to understand that his papa had died because we had used that language before. And he would have moments when he would cry and say he misses his papa and he wishes that he was still alive. And so I feel like because we started those conversations around our pregnancy losses, that he was better able to grasp and work through his emotions when his grandfather died.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. And were you and your partner on the same page on how to kind of allow the space for your children to grieve?
Yeah. I mean, my husband's not super vocal, but he has said to me recently, you know, showing my emotions and talking to my emotions is something that I really want to work on, because I know that Ezekiel is copying my behaviors and I want him to grow into an emotionally well-developed man. So it's something that he's aware of and is definitely open to those conversations, but I find Zeke is more comfortable talking to me. So a lot of those conversations happen between the two of us.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. Your journey, it encompasses so many different stages, right? Parenting, previous to loss, parenting post-loss. How does loss show up for you in your life on a day-to-day basis? Like, what does that actually look like for you?
Well, I would say often it shows up as anger. If we're being completely honest, I find that that's been the emotion that has visited me the most when it comes to my journey. Like anger over the fact that we've had to experience loss so many times. And I find like days when I'm especially angry or impatient, I have to check and ask myself why. Like, is it something that has triggered me? Am I just emotionally drained? Have I been thinking about my losses? And I try to give myself space to feel the anger, but then also to like move into different emotions. Because I know often my anger is a mask for me and not wanting to feel sad or to not want to cry. It's almost like this buckle up emotion, but I need to remind myself like it's okay to be sad and it's okay to cry sometimes. So I find like that's the way that it visits or shows up in my life the most often.
Yeah, and that actually reminds me of this quote that I read that I often read my clients, because anger is so common, I think, in all of our journeys after loss. But I read this quote once that said, anger is the sound that pain makes. And so oftentimes we're feeling like we're angry, but it's actually we're angry because of the unaddressed pain that lives under that anger. And I always go back to that, because I find too, like if we say we're angry, we kind of treat ourselves differently when we're angry because we don't want to be angry and we feel like we're being mean or rude. But when we actually go, oh, I'm actually in pain here, suddenly we allow ourselves that space to be more empathetic to ourselves and more gentle with ourselves as we would a loved one. So it's really interesting that you said that. I think anger is so common. But yeah, just like you said, you need to give space for the anger so you can explore what is happening underneath that anger.
Yeah. And that's one of the hardest things to do, is to show empathy for ourselves. It's often so much easier to show or display that with other people, but to show empathy for ourselves is extremely difficult, because a lot, like, you have to be in tune with your body as well. Like, to know that that anger is from unaddressed pain, you have to be embodied and in tune with what your body's telling you. And we come from this culture that that disembodies us and tells us that emotions are bad. Emotions are bad. You need to shove them down. Don't experience them. And that's definitely been like a huge part of my journey as well, is becoming embodied again and being in tune with what my body is telling me throughout this journey.
Yes, which is super powerful.
Yeah, and difficult.
I was gonna say,
it's
scary.
It powerful is so hard. And scary. Yeah.
The powerful things are always the hardest and scariest, I find.
It's so true.
Yes, like healing, this conscious step that we take towards healing is the scariest and hardest thing, but it's powerful. Yeah. If you were to share one thing with people listening today about their grieving and healing journey, so like, if I knew then what I know now, what would that be?
It would be that your grief is valid, no matter what stage of pregnancy you've lost your baby, that your grief is valid. And even outside of pregnancy loss too, like, there's all different forms of grief, and we all experience grief in some way or another. And to just know that it's okay to feel the grief and to ride the waves of grief, and that that grief is valid. I wish I had known that at the very beginning, because I was shamed into thinking that I shouldn't be grieving or pregnancy losses.
Yeah, totally. There's so much shame around it. And I think the more that people talk about it, the more that you talk about it, the less shame around it there is for other people who are new into the journey.
Yeah, definitely.
And do you find that sharing your story, what does that do for your own healing when you share your own story?
Woo, it has been so healing. Because then I'm no longer hanging, like, I'm no longer clinging to the grief myself and holding it in. I'm able to actually verbalize what I'm feeling and the emotions that I'm going through. And it helps relieve the grief. It helps it become a little bit lighter. It doesn't feel as heavy when I'm able to verbalize what it is that I'm going through.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And it's so healing to be able to speak our truth and to share.
Yes.
To share. And I'm just so very grateful that to have had you on today and heard your story and to hold space for all of your babies. We are so blessed to have your voice and creating this supportive, inclusive space that you're creating alongside the center and the collaboration. We're just so grateful to have you as a part of our community.
Thanks, Aditi. Yeah, I'm so honored to be a part of everything that you're building and doing. I think it's really, really important.
Oh, thank you. And so where can people find you, Melissa?
Yeah, so you can find me on Instagram. I pretty much live on there.
Yeah, you're great on Instagram.
Yeah, Josiah and Co. So you can find me on there. They can send me a DM if they ever want to connect with me. I'm usually pretty diligent on responding to people. Yeah, and that's pretty much it. I mean, I have Facebook, but I don't use it very often.
So Instagram's the place to find you.
Yeah, Instagram is the place to find me. And then also my website, josiahandco.ca, and I have a blog up there as well.
Perfect. Very quickly before we close, would you care to share what called you to volunteer with the center on our pregnancy loss support hotline?
Yeah, it was powerful for me to be able to connect with others who had been through a similar journey. So I wanted to be able to offer my voice and support to those who need someone to talk to.
Perfect. Yes. Thank you. And we're so glad to have you on that team.
Yeah, it's been great.
Well, thank you everyone for tuning in to Beyond the Loss today with Melissa Scully. We so appreciate your voice, Melissa, and your story and all those beautiful little tidbits that you shared on how grief has changed you and how to navigate grief with your children. I think those are such important pieces of the topic to share, and we're blessed to have your voice here. So thank you so much.
Aditi has personally navigated the complex journey after pregnancy and infant loss. Through both her personal and professional journey, she found that there were more supports needed to holistically serve the loss community in Calgary. To fill this gap, Aditi founded Pregnancy and Infant Loss Support Center. If you would like to find out more about the Pregnancy and Infant Loss Support Center, please go to www.pregnancyinfantlosssupportcenter.com. Thank you for listening. For more episodes, please visit www.getyouvisible.com/podcast.